to see everyone tonight. Glad you're here. Depression is a real life issue, and we've all heard something about that this week if you've listened to the news at all. Depression is one of those issues that you just can't deny. It affects everyone, it seems. I mean, even if you do not personally deal with depression from time to time, we know someone who does. There's a family member or a friend or someone that has some problems that way, some issues that way, and we all deal with it. And we've heard a lot about it this week because of a well-known public figure who suffered some serious bouts of depression and a life that ended tragically this week. You know, it seems to me there are some aspects of depression that are self-inflicted. I mean, drugs and alcohol play a major factor in the emotional well-being of many and leads to some having depression-type issues. Well, you understand that, and you can see how that happens and where it comes from, and we would have to see and admit that that's kind of a self-inflicted type of an issue. And I think, too, another factor is that there are many who do not have a spiritual grounding, and that very well plays a major factor on how so many view life and whether even they can cope with life. Because without a spiritual grounding, well, we just don't have grounding. And we don't deal with issues so well because we have no basis for dealing with issues. So that's a factor. Well, let's face it, for all of us, whoever we are, wherever we live, and whatever our circumstances are, in the best of situations of life, life can just be hard sometime. And we have issues to deal with, more specifically, sometimes there are those who just don't have anything to hold on to. And when life gets hard, well, there are problems that comes. And we can slide into a deep state of hopelessness. Well, does the Bible talk about depression? Well, to some degree, I think it does. You know, be turning to the 40th Psalm, and let's look at a passage there in just a moment. Most of us are familiar with King David. In the early part of his reign, or really, you know, therefore a period of time, even before his reign officially began, David had a lot of issues to deal with. There were those who just seemingly were so much against him, King Saul being one, who was chasing David and was intent on trying to do him harm and to kill him. And there's some of the most pathetic psalms in some ways are those written by David in a time when he was just as low and as deep as he could be, dealing with some issues of strife and anxiety in life. I say depressing, you know, and pathetic, but on the other hand, perhaps uplifting, because we see the direction that he was looking for help to be lifted up. In the 40th Psalm, verse 1, we begin reading, where it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." A situation here where we see that David, in fact, had sunk very low. But he knew where to look. He knew where to find help and whom he should ask. But you can't miss the point and miss the fact that David was as low as you can go. I mean, just the term here, he pulled me out of a slimy pit. There's nothing that's pretty about the picture that's being drawn for us there. Pulled out of the mud and the mire, and he set me up on a rock. So we can see where David was, and we can see where the Lord lifted him. And there are times in the lives of each of us that I suppose we've all kind of felt that way. In the 119th Psalm, the writer says, poetically, I guess, and to some degree says, speaks of one whose soul cleaves to the dust. I mean, to cleave to the dust, that's pretty low. I think that's the idea of what the writer was saying. That's how low they were. Even some of God's greatest servants battled being low or being depressed, so to speak. Turning over to the 88th Psalm, We read some words here about the sons of Korah. The 88th Psalm. The sons of Korah are described here are ones who cried day and night and whose life is forsaken among the dead. Well, at times we may have all felt that way. At times when it seems as though we have no friends, we have nowhere to go, no one to turn to. Sometimes we have our own pity party. Sometimes it's deserved and sometimes it's not. But we understand the point, we understand the fact of what it is to be low, forsaken among the dead, so to speak. The 88th Psalm, verse 1 beginning. O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you and turn your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of trouble and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like a man without strength. Now we might relate to that at times. When troubles of life and just issues of life just get us to the point that we are pulled so low that it seems as though we have no strength at all. We can't even get up. I imagine at some time or another we've all felt that way. Where we had nowhere to turn, that we had no hope. But we do have hope when we turn to God. What about the prophet Elijah? One of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, one whom God held in the highest regard. Even Elijah had some times where he was pulled low. Elijah became so discouraged, he became so distressed and depressed that he asked God to take his life. That's pretty low. God sorted the issue out and helped Elijah to see some things by his view and his way, and Elijah became a profitable servant once again. But if the greats of the Bible had their time in the pit, so to speak, if some of these greats of the Bible had their time where they were so low they didn't know what to do, they were low as dirt and mire, then surely there must be times where we feel the same way. And we find depression even in our lives. Sometimes working out life's problems and issue is a matter of refocus. We just need to stop and kind of look at some things and reevaluate where we are and what's going on. And really looking to the one who can give us absolute comfort and hope. That's what we need to do more than anything. I don't doubt sometimes that medical help is needed to conquer depression, because I think it becomes a medical issue sometimes. And yet sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we might view physicians who treat the mind as suspect. Or as I've heard some say sometimes, you just need to have more faith. And sometimes that is the issue. Sometimes we just need to have more faith. But sometimes I'm of the mind that it might be something more than that. Or I've heard some randomly say, just read the Bible and pray. Well, we should read the Bible and pray. But sometimes when there are medical issues, there are other things to be considered as well. Sometimes the mind becomes so imbalanced that it requires some medical attention. Someone said, and I thought this was a good analogy, if we come upon an accident and somebody is laying on the ground and they have a broken leg, we're not going to run up to them and say, hey, you need to read the Bible and pray. We're going to call 911 and we're going to get the medical attention that they need to help their circumstance. Sometimes that's needed in other ways too. Well, does one who needs medical attention with a broken leg need to read the Bible and pray? Well, yes, they do. We all need to do that. But sometimes there's some other needs that have to be met as well. Sometimes we have to help someone get to a place where they can do that, where they can read the Bible and pray. God has provided us with wonderful discoveries in science and medicine to help lift us up from the mud and mire when there are some issues that we can't deal with from a medical perspective. And sometimes when, in fact, it's a medical issue that is the cause, sometimes we have to do just that. But instead of criticism, let's praise God for the fact that He has allowed us to understand and discover some ways to heal broken bodies and even broken minds, but most importantly, broken souls. And at times it almost seems that they are all intertwined. We can find hope in the eternal nature of things that God has given us. I do think sometimes there are those in this life who struggle with emotional issues and depression and things like that simply because they have nothing that grounds them. I think that that happens a lot to people that I've encountered. They deal with issues of life, or in fact, maybe we should say they cannot deal with issues of life because they have nothing to stand on. They have nothing, they don't have that rock to stand on. As David said, he was pulled out of the mire and the mud, and God set him on a rock. We all need that. And God will provide that. And in Christ, we find hope of the eternal nature. Those sometimes who are dealing with depression, sometimes it's self-inflicted, as we've said. They've done foolish things that has caused them to be in a situation that they can't find a way to pick themselves up. They've become addicted to things that has just ruined their lives. We can't excuse that. But don't we want to help pick them up? And don't we want to try to give them and offer them the hope that, in fact, will give them stability in life? Hope that is found in Christ. There is stability. In Christ, we find hope of the eternal nature, victory over death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as the apostle is concluding this first letter to these brethren, he has spoken a lot in the chapter just, well, about death and the resurrection that is to come and the hope that we have through Jesus Christ. In the latter part of that chapter, verse 57, he says, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." There's our rock. There is where we find stability. There is where we find hope, focus. There's where we find hope. There's where we find direction. Victory that is found in Christ Jesus. That can change lives in so many ways. That hope can change lives. And we need to make sure that that's the hope that has changed our lives and lifted us up to a new level and given us direction in life. And then hopefully we can share that with others as well and help them to see reason to live and direction in life. Being in Christ affords us with a view of a heavenly promise. In Galatians chapter 3, we find something here that to me is just incredible. The fact that we can be sons of God. There are so many that would reject the idea and have no interest at all in what it would be to be a child of God. And you know, with some, we can't change that. But when I read a passage such as found here in Galatians chapter 3, I find great hope and amazement, just absolute amazement, that God has looked even upon me and upon all of his creation in such a way to provide a means and to provide a way that he might call us his children. It's a heavenly promise, a relationship through Christ with God as sons of God. Galatians chapter 3 and at verse 26, he was speaking to those who were children who were already Christians. He says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." To be sons of God, what greater hope, what greater promise could there be? When we think about the need of stability in life and direction in life, what could be more important than for us to be considered children of God? The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2, in the latter part of that chapter, 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we see him as he is. To be children of God. What incredible thought. What incredible hope. Whatever issues of life we have to struggle with and deal with, all pale in severity when you consider the blessings of being a child of God. Therein lies our hope. Just a few simple thoughts to think about tonight. We're going to sing a song now that's meant to be a means of encouragement for any who need to respond to the gospel tonight, those who need to make their life right before God. And if that call is coming to you, because the call of Christ goes to all men and continues to be there, then we're hoping that you will respond tonight. Would you come as we stand and sing?